It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
And that is the location of the sushi restaurant, and that is the name of the sushi restaurant.
Okay, cool.
Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin back in the saddle. How you doing?
Welcome back, buddy. Did you? I'm picturing is you thinking of that joke getting on the plane like the day after the Super Bowl and be like, I'm gonna write this down for when I come back.
What I used to do. By the way, thank you to Matt Brown. Thank you to Jared Smith. Thank you to the great Ben Wilson, who'll be more famous than all of us, for filling in all these 2 weeks. Great, all of them. It's something I used to do when people used to put you on call waiting.
Oh, yes.
So when they would like take forever and they'd come back, I would like, let's say Matt Brown called me, just to use an example, just to give the example, not that he did, but if he put me on call waiting for like 90 seconds, he would come back and then I would say, and that's why Kelly spent 3 years in the can for drug possession. You know, just to get it. Don't take that long.
I'll do that with telemarketers sometimes. Is that bad? I'll be like, hey, Billy, what's going on? Wait, this isn't Billy?
Man, it's good to be back. Clearly, what was the biggest thing that happened in the 2 weeks that I was gone, Kelly? And I even texted you about it, and your response was, Gil, I completely missed it. Denny Avdija dropping 43 for the Wizards on Valentine's night, which I know to most of you, this was probably not a very big covered, you know, very well-covered thing that happened in sports. But that's 7 points shy of the all-time Tribe record in NBA history. Of course, set by the great Dolph Schayes. By the way, whenever this trivia comes up, always guess Dolph Schayes. And Amari Stoudemire.
And Amari Stoudemire.
Who, of course, obviously dropped 50.
Yeah.
And is really, listen, if you want to be part of it, we claim you. You're good. Avdija dropped 43. I don't need to say this phrase at the end. It ain't another Wizards loss, but I guess I should. but that was a big, and it also shows that any primetime action prediction that was ever made about someone has no statute of limitations. So I was right about Avdija.
Just like the Pistons are going to make those playoffs, man. Watch out. I did catch a note this morning. The Wizards, who I might be fading again tonight. Denny Avdija has been in and out of the lineup.
Yes,
okay, so that is tough.
Well, he scored 43.
Exactly. It's tough when he's in and out of the lineup. I did catch the note because I brought it up, I think yesterday on the show or last week, of like, I think there's some value in the Wizards to have the fewest wins in that market. And the Pistons only got one less
than
them.
Knocking at the door, yeah.
Wizards are plus 250, and they look like they are in like full tank mode. I caught a note this morning, though, that if they keep losing, they will hit a point near the end of the season where they will face the Pistons with a chance to beat the Pistons streak that they set earlier this year.
Tanking for Wembanyama. Somebody tell the Wizards that he already got drafted.
Yeah.
So Avdija scores 43. By the way, it's like a Gentile scoring 93. Like, that's how close this was to the record. And since I bring up Wembanyama, we're going to have Drew Dinsick here momentarily. Drew Dinsick from The Deep Dive and, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast. I have a host of NBA questions for him about pricing in the postseason. But one of the things is, I feel like, Kelly, this defense, like, of all the awards in the NBA, the one that everybody is unwilling to talk about, and I will force this conversation with Drew, is about defensive player of the year. Because everybody's like, it's Rudy Gobert and it's over and that's all there is to it. He's minus 800, done. No one wants to even have a conversation about it. Mike Montesano, who won the first booby prize at Circa, and I have been talking about this more than for the 2 weeks I was gone, but for a month or two now. And we both have Wembanyama defensive player of the year tickets. Let me be full disclosure about that. He's got more boards. He's got more blocks. He's got more steals. He's doing it in less minutes. Gobert has a couple more rebounds, but in more time per game. Are we just saying this is a team award and that's that? That's what we're saying, right?
It factors in, yes. It factors in.
Forget factors. That's all it is. Because if we put Wembanyama on the T-Wolves and we put Gobert on the Spurs, would Wembanyama be minus 800? No, he would be minus a bajillion. And so it's a team award. Let's just admit it.
It's a team award.
Okay, there we go. That's all I wanted.
It's partially a team award.
Okay.
I don't think the Timberwolves defense, though, would be as good. Like, personally, he wouldn't play the same kind of minutes. He's a rookie.
Okay, well, that's a nice caveat to it. I'll give you that.
There's the give and take with the minutes thing, right?
From a betting market standpoint, though, it would be that much greater for Wembanyama.
Yeah, you can throw it at Drew, though, because I really don't. That's about as the best retort, I guess, I have, like, or argument I have for Rudy Gobert.
I like when you retort.
But I did this to Drew last week, too, where I was like, Drew, people keep asking me about Sixth Man of the Year market, and I have no freaking clue, so I'm going to ask you about it.
Are you worried about your most improved player on Maxey?
Yeah.
I thought about you for part of that. I was like, oh, no.
And this is like the classic, like, this is like the golf outright where you have like a 3-stroke lead, but then there's 4 guys tied, like, you know, 3 strokes back. So you don't really have like a way to hedge. Like, there's not like a.
Right.
Like, I have 20-1, I think, on Maxey from preseason. Like, it's been the bet all year long. And you're like, okay, this might be the time to, you know, if there was a no price out there, if someone was hanging a no price, I'd probably buy off some of it because I'm a little, yes, worried about it actually getting home.
Yeah.
But no, I don't really have that option. So let's go Maxey.
T-Wolves happen to play the Spurs tonight, by the way, back to Wembanyama and Gobert. Yeah. T-Wolves 13-point favorites in Minnesota. All right. We're also going to have Matty Cox on from Three Man Weave after Drew. We'll talk NBA with Drew. We'll also, but then go into college basketball. So I wanted, before we got to him, and we want to talk about this running back free agency glut in the NFL, which to me is always an entree to talk NFL economics.
It's insane.
I'm going to go the other way, man.
Okay.
I'm going to go, but we'll talk about that because I think it's an interesting conversation. But let me get in the college basketball formula before we get to Matty Cox. Let's do it. I said it like we were going to have a big intro, but we don't have an intro. For those who are unfamiliar with this, everybody does a formula now, but we've done it for years and years and years, not only on this show, A Numbers Game, but also in podcast form, Beating the Book and Betting Dork before that. This is a tried and true college basketball formula, which has isolated with the rarest of exception, the eventual national champion in college basketball once we get through March Madness. Again, 6 points. Last 33 champs had more assists than turnovers. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. 32 of the last 33 champs had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience prior to that tournament. The only exception to not have a team, to not have coached a team to the Sweet 16 prior to the year in which they won the national championship. You know it, Kelly. 2014 UConn Huskies, Kevin Ollie. That was the Shabazz Napier-led Huskies team, not the Kemba Walker one back in 2014. 27 of the last 28 champs went into the tournament with at least 3 wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. That's how long we've been doing this, that we still talk RPI in this thing. So we remain consistent. The only exception, 2014 UConn Huskies. Last 28 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. That's had a big effect on knocking out some teams from this. 20 of the last 21 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. The only exception, the 2014 UConn Huskies. They busted this formula. Number 39 that year in adjusted offensive efficiency. The only other, like, just tick of an exception was 20 of the 21 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom. The only exception to that, Baylor in 2021 did finish 22nd. So really, it's the 2014 UConn Huskies with that one Baylor side note. The only of those 6 criteria, the only 2 that are allowed to be adjustable during the tournament itself are the KenPom efficiencies. So what does that mean? Of the teams in college hoops right now, who currently qualifies, who are just on the outside looking in? Would you like to start with the outside looking in, Kelly?
Sure.
Do that. Kelly Bidlin.
Outside looking in. What do we got?
Have you met my friend Kelly Bidlin, everybody? Outside looking in. Purdue.
They're sick of me. Are you kidding me?
Purdue, 2nd in offensive efficiency, 21st in defensive efficiency. By the way, we're going to go team by team with Matt Cox later from Three Man Weave. And I just wanted the answer to one question. Can they win the national championship, in your opinion? Can they not?
Okay.
Purdue right now just on the cusp, outside looking in on defensive efficiency. Tennessee's the same thing reversed. 21st in offensive adjusted efficiency, 2nd in defense. So Tennessee and Purdue literally on the doorstep.
I didn't know their defense was that good.
UNC 25-7 in KenPom, so they're on the outside looking in. Duke is eliminated. Forget their KenPom. They're eliminated because John Shire, very leaflet-like segment we're having here. John Shire, no Sweet 16 experience.
Hates fans, also.
Hates fans. I hope you got to storm the court in your day, because it's never happening again, Kelly.
I hate it.
Creighton, your pro court storming?
No, I'm the old man. I'm the old man. Matt Brown and I did a full old man get off my lawn with that yesterday, where I'm like, sorry. Like, I love, I want to root for fun. This has always bothered me, though. And
they ran into Caitlin. That is the problem.
That was a problem for me, too. Yeah. Yes.
They ran into Caitlin. Creighton is eliminated because they have not beaten three teams in the top 10% of RPI. They have one more shot at it. They're taking on Marquette here down the stretch. That's their bugaboo in this.
So, defense just outside as well, 22nd.
Yeah, but Duke and Creighton are effectively eliminated. Duke for it is eliminated no matter what because of Shire not having gone to the Sweet 16 by this formula. Creighton will be if they don't beat Marquette. Marquette is the other team on the outside looking in, 24th and 12th offensive and defensive. Now, here are the four teams that do qualify. No surprise to anyone. Houston, UConn, Arizona, Auburn. Houston, UConn, Arizona, and Auburn. UConn, the defending champs, 19th, it should be mentioned, in defensive efficiency. Most people who I respect who watch college basketball every night, they think it's UConn's to lose again. Houston, 16th and 1st offense and defense in terms of KenPom efficiency. Arizona, 6th and 13th offense and defense. And Auburn, 15th and 6th. They qualify those four teams in every other category as well. So Houston, UConn, Arizona, and Auburn. We'll go through it team by team with Matt Cox from Three Man Weave a little later on. But first, we'll talk to Drew Dinsick. Want to get into a whole bunch of NBA topics, including how do you price the Phoenix Suns once the postseason begins? Once the playoffs begin, what do you do with that team? Is it sort of a Brooklyn Nets, KD, Harden, Kyrie situation? Will there be betting opportunities? Or have the Suns fallen off a cliff so much here in the short term that we won't have a betting opportunity? That and thoughts on other teams as well, including the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the grapefruit and cactus leagues than with VSiN's free MLB betting primer. Love it. This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training, continue all season long with our VSiN experts' World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB betting primer has basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for more data-driven bettors to make this your best season yet. Bet the MLB smarter this year. Download the free MLB betting primer now for free at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSiN.com/guide. It doesn't say Adam Burke necessarily on that, but I'm going to guess, Kelly, I'm going to lay minus a bajillion.
It's a lot of Adam Burke.
That it's a lot of Adam Burke. And let me just stuff. And let me just say this again. I used to do baseball manifestos. I used to do them with Dr. Bob. I used to do them here in the early days of VSiN. And I thought mine were thorough. Adam Burke's make mine look like a haiku.
Yes.
Like his are fantastic.
Everything he does with baseball, especially baseball, though. I mean, college basketball, yes, but baseball, like the extreme detail that he puts into all of this
fantastic
stuff, it's not matched anywhere.
Not matched. This gentleman is unmatched as well. He is the host of not one but two podcasts. There is Dinsick Classic, which, of course, is the deep dive with his buddy Andy Molitor, and NBC Sports Bet the Edge, where he does a great job as well. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody, at whale underscore capper on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. I love it when you get to wake up in the morning and get compared to the great Adam Burke. Great way to start the day. I appreciate it. And great to see you back. Hope your vacation was a smashing success.
It was.
I'm sure. I didn't even ask because I kind of, you know, that was the minus 5,000 favorite.
Yeah.
It was a fun couple weeks with some of the fill-in hosts, but great to see you back.
Well, thank you. It was a smashing success. I have one question before we dive into the NBA, which is, we've had 2 weeks now. Are you, where is your, on a scale from I'm completely over it to no, I'll never be over it, how do you feel about Joe Flacco having one comeback player of the year?
I thought we were going Super Bowl. I have not even begun to process what in the world happened there and how. Oh my goodness gracious. 5 weeks of mediocre quarterback play, including a midweek holiday thrashing of the New York Jets is enough to win you comeback player of the year over a guy who came back to life. Okay. Unbelievable. Really, really tough trying to rationalize that one. And I think, you know, like the first step you go through is, well, if people were just going to leave Hamlin off ballot, like surely there was a better candidate than Flacco and Baker Mayfield. What happened there? So, you know, that one's going to be tough to, you know, kind of really rationalize with. And I guess, like, shame on anyone, and myself included, for getting involved in a market like comeback player of the year, where the definition of the award is so, you know, up to the voter.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no clear and obvious direction for the award. They should probably just get rid of it. But all that said, you know, I'd rather they open markets for more awards. Like, I don't know why we can't bet on Walter Payton Man of the Year, or, you know, the FedEx Air Ground Player of the Year. Like, it would be fun to have more awards to bet on. But at the same time, I don't think a lot of thought went into giving Flacco that award. And it was pretty frustrating because, like, you know, just the betting and the, you know, the dollars aside, like what DeMar Hamlin did was pretty unbelievable. The amount of kind of physical and mental, mountain he had to climb to get back on the football field.
For sure.
is really, really, really tough to wrap my head around. And then to, you know, not be acknowledged and, you know, see, you know, Joe Flacco, who effectively came back from being, you know, too bad of a player the previous year to be on a roster. Like, it's not in the same ballpark. And I don't know. I'm lost on that one.
I'm glad you're over it, Drew.
Guys, Joe Flacco was eating chips on his couch, had to go all the way outside to throw a football around with his brother, okay? Like, it took a lot of work for him to return to the NFL. How dare you? How dare you, guys?
Yeah.
So silly.
It's ridiculous. Well, the good news is Aaron Schatz did tell us that he thinks there is a groundswell that they will define that award next year. So we'll see. All right. Let's talk NBA. I want to start probably not in the logical place, not at the top, but I want to start with the Phoenix Suns, because in many ways, they're the most interesting in terms of, because we're not quite at the quarter pole in the NBA regular season, but as we can project towards the postseason, as best as we can, because the Suns are in this glut, right in this tier in the middle of the Western Conference playoff race, where they could end up as a play-in team. They could end up, you know, as a playoff team and not have to go through the play-in. But at some point, they're going to play the teams at the top. Let's say, let's just go with the exercise. How do you price this team, given that we haven't seen the big three play together in volume? And then given the other part that would, it's sort of, makes us think about the Brooklyn Nets big three that also included KD just a year ago, right?
That's a good, it's a perfectly fair analog. And right now I'm actually kind of decently staked on Suns to miss the playoffs. I think it is very well within the scope of possible. And like, here's the only reason I'm really doing it is because we had a situation in the second round of the playoffs last year where the Suns were road favorites to win the series against the Nuggets in round two. And it didn't make sense. Like, the amount of respect that the market gives, you know, a team like the Suns, who are, in my opinion, fatally flawed defensively, and who are just in general talent poor outside of the top players. They still get enormous amount of respect in the series market and the futures market because of having KD, who people look at it. Well, he's the best player in the series, so we got to actually give them, you know, realistic consideration to win here. Well, we're kind of out of that phase, in my opinion, of NBA playoff series being determined by the best player. Like, you know, these teams that are good, that are winning, they're so complete. They have so many different ways they can hurt you offensively. And yes, as you go deeper into a series, it becomes more of an isolation game. Yes, as you go, you know, deeper into the playoffs and, you know, teams are scouting you more effectively and having the answers more quickly in the series than, you know, having a guy like KD who can create an unstoppable shot at the end of a series, at the end of a game, that matters. Sure. If you're even there, but I don't know that the Suns are ever going to be there because they just have some pretty clear and obvious flaws. And we haven't even gotten to the point that their schedule between now and the end of the season is an absolute murderer's row.
Hardest in the league.
Yeah. And sometimes hardest in the league is like a point or two harder than the next hardest. This is like,
yes.
they are well clear of number two here. They're going to be number one with a bullet for like the entire month of March. They got two games against the Celtics, two against the Thunder, two against the Timberwolves, two against the Nuggets. Like, and I don't know if you've been watching any of Thunder, Timberwolves, or Nuggets basketball, but these teams all care a lot. Like, they are trying hard to win and get that one seed in the West now. So the likelihood that you're going to catch any of those guys, with a night where they're taking off, I think is pretty low. And so you're going to have a number of games where you're at a disadvantage, and we already know you're at a disadvantage talent-wise. They're going to need some luck to get anything close to a top six seed in a West where, you know, Pelicans aren't going anywhere. Mavericks aren't going anywhere. The Kings seem to have a couple of flubs like last night, obviously, but still are a team that plays winning basketball and has a much easier schedule than you. I think you're probably going to be in that mix with the Lakers and the Warriors for the 7 and 8 seed. And if you're going to tell me that the Suns are that likely to win a 1v1 against both the Lakers and the Warriors back to back, I don't know. I kind of want to call BS. I just think this is a team that has too many flaws. And the Bradley Beal move was, it was kind of a fine buy low, I thought, at the time. Beal had that no trade clause, which made it impossible for really any other team to get him. But he's clearly not healthy. Like, he has got some serious issues going on health wise now that may need an entire offseason before he's ever right. So I would not hold your breath and hope that, the savior of Bradley Beal coming is going to mean much to the Suns team. And, like I said, the Suns issues kind of come more with players 4 through 7 anyway, and then structurally with just their point of attack defense being a huge question mark. So count me out on the Suns.
Not to interrupt though, but okay, because you have them to miss. By the way, what price do you have them to miss? What did you say again?
I think my average in is like +280.
+280. Okay, but let's say hypothetically they get in, let's say it's a first round. It could be a second round match. Let's say it's a first round matchup. Let's say it's the seventh seed Suns against the number two seeded Thunder. What is that price going to be on that series? Like, I just want something that
it's going to be wrong, right?
Yeah. Yes, and that's the point. I want to know something we can exploit because it's going to be way off, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, and I thank you for taking it back here. So I was licking my chops when the Suns were kind of in the five, and I'm like, oh man, they're going to get a great matchup where they're going to be clearly the worst team in round one, and we're going to be able to just bombs away against them. And then I'm like, wait, well, what if they slide out of the playoffs? Like, some of my betting no is panic move that we may not get another opportunity to fade these guys.
Very interesting, because I think, weren't they like a favorite over somebody last year? They shouldn't have been.
Nuggets. Absolute nonsense. On the road.
All right. We'll see if that happens again. We'll see if they even get there. More on the NBA with Drew Dinsick. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets. If your first bet loses, download the app and use promo code VSIN. That's VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I feel like there's a whole bunch more NBA stuff we couldn't even get into with Drew because the time ran out. But
got all week, buddy.
Here's the thing. Yeah, we will. We'll get into it. But because I want to talk about the Bucks, because we were talking off air, seem to think they're not going to be a thing. It's February. So obviously they're still like, we always shift at some point here into March Madness is going to be obviously the biggest thing we're going to be excited about. And then there's going to be, multiple things before the NBA playoffs actually kick in. But I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. The Western Conference NBA playoffs could be the greatest thing ever in terms of a conference's postseason.
They're going to be sick. I think that we're in for one of the greatest MVP races we've had in a while down to the stretch here. Like I think there are four guys that could legit win it and four guys that stand a chance to win this.
So you think beyond Shea and Jokic, you think Luka could win it and Giannis.
I still think there's paths for those guys to win it.
Would you recommend bets on them since they're longer?
We could talk another. Yeah, we can talk another time. But that's part of the craziness, though, of how much those have changed. Those change day to day with those guys.
We get tweets of beating the book. Wegg's pool. You are a cruel man, Gil. I think that was about sushi at the beginning of the show. Kane. K. Browskowski. Did anyone else picture Gil walking in the studio like a WWE wrestler from the early 2000s Attitude Era? Jamie Leva. Good to see the dynamic duo back together. Well played, Sushi Bet. Thank you. LFC Title Records, welcome back, young Gil. While you were gone, Liverpool won another trophy, which means I had to update my profile pic. Jesse Welch, welcome. Oh, very aggressive. Welcome the blank back, he said, Gilly. Thank you very much, Jesse. Jason H11, Gilly's back. Have any good sushi while you're on vacation? Larry Fresh, welcome back, Gil. Best way to come back, giving out sushi for those who missed it is... And Sean Fox plays. It's a Wizards thing to tank when experts agree that this next draft is devoid of superstar potential, as you said, Kwame Brown 2.0.
You know,
someone tell him it's not Wembanyama this year.
You know what's really funny about this? And Matt Cox might know a little bit more than me, too, of how many, like, French prospects there are in this year's draft that are going to be, like, first-round picks. Like, we made a big deal about Victor Wembanyama. And ball cool. Bali went last year, too. But, like, there's going to be, like, four French guys drafted in the first round. But none of them are Victor Wembanyama.
How about the two best defensive players in the league are both Frenchmen?
There you go. Oh. There you go.
Maybe we don't do a good enough job of coaching that up here in the old States. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some college hoops. He is one of the three-man weavers. He is, I'd like to say, he feels like he's the George Washington of the group. It's Matt Cox, everybody. Wow. How you doing, Matty Cox?
I'm the founder. Well, actually, I technically am the founder. Yes. We have some disputes over our founding history, but I believe firmly that I was the ultimate founding father. Yes, I am the glue that brought this whole thing together.
Oh, who is it, Kai or Jim, who dispute that account the most? I want to know.
Oh, they both do. And other fans also do as well. There's really no good paper trail to fact check my claim, but I have boisterously, you know, spewed that out there. And I'm going to stick to it. So, you know, have fun refuting it. Can't.
You don't really hear the word boisterous used that often, but we got it on the show.
I feel like Kai would be the coolest with letting it go.
Me too.
I could see Matt and Jim getting into it about this. Yeah.
James Patrick Roots doesn't let that go.
Yeah, right. Let that go. No.
All right. Earlier I did the college basketball formula. I know you guys, I've told you guys have one too now as well. And I want to go, we've done the coach by coach thing. Trust, not trust. Let's just do these teams now, team by team. Who do you legitimately not? You can give your explanation. Like, let's keep them to 30 seconds or less. You can give your explanation as to whether or not you think these teams can either win the national championship or not. If you want to do like a little Final Four hedge in there, you're welcome to. Let's just go through these one by one. Can they actually win it all for those looking to bet futures here? Which, by the way, in late February, you can still get great numbers on some of these teams. Okay.
Yep.
Marquette.
Yes. Hard yes.
Hard yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Creighton.
Yes.
Apparently not quite as hard, though. Duke.
Yes. Inflection point at the end. Yes, but yes.
See, already you're letting too many teams have a possibility here. Already this is a free-for-all. He's just bringing the ball
three, like, my favorite future values. That's actually a great start, three-headed monster.
So you like a bet on one or some of those?
I have futures on all three, albeit at worse prices. Now, I took too many pre-flop preseason. I think, like, to your point you just made, now is a good time to bet futures in season.
Yes.
Don't overbet in the summer. I think that was my big learning from this calendar year.
Of the ones I just mentioned, Duke, Creighton, and Marquette, the shortest of the bunch at 22-1 over at DraftKings. Carolina.
Don't trust. No.
Don't trust. What don't you trust about?
Their D's been better, but still think it's propped up by no one making shots against them. And I don't trust their bench enough either. And Hubert Davis is the final cherry on top, even though he wants the championship once. I think it was a fluke. So I'm selling that. Mostly Hubert Davis.
Oh, does not like Hubert Davis. You're consistent on that. Tennessee.
No, don't trust. Rick Barnes' resume speaks for itself. I know they're better, they're different this year, but still don't trust that that offense against a coach that can mix and match defenses, that can throw some different curveballs at them in a tournament short turnaround setting. So no, don't trust.
Here's where it gets ugly. Purdue.
Yeah, I do. I'm in this year.
You know, my
buddy, a little better.
My buddy Wish
Jones. Yeah,
gonna be fine. My buddy Todd Wishnev. Here was his take on them. He goes, the players around Edie just aren't that special. And Edie, and you know this if you just anecdotally watch Purdue, right? If you don't even watch every one of their games. If it's a tight game, sometimes Edie makes his free throws, and then other times he just doesn't, right? Like, I think
yeah, that... Yeah, I know, but yeah. Okay. It's still 72%, 73% in nip and tuck game. And I think Lance Jones has been like that key X factor that they didn't have last year. I think he can make some key plays and be more than just a guy, as sometimes we see Brayden Smith and Foster Wooder sort of, you know, be thwarted by athletics. But I think Lance Jones is a key piece of that team.
Okay. Auburn.
Yes. Trust in on Mr. Pearl.
Arizona.
Yes, but I think you had the right point when you called me out for not trusting Tommy Lloyd last time we spoke. I'm starting to come around to your side of the aisle. I still remain committed. I think they're good enough to win it all. Yes.
You know what's funny is that was the one coach that I actually got pushback on. They're like, you got Tommy Lloyd wrong. He's actually good. That's what I was getting from some folks. UConn, clearly, right? They're the team. Are they the team to beat? Let's put it that way with them.
Yes. I still think it's a three-horse race between them, Purdue, and Houston. I don't think any one of those three has separated themselves above the from the other two.
Okay.
So I think they're all in the same tier.
Houston was my last one that I was going to ask, so you obviously just answered that. Okay, so UConn, Houston, and Purdue for you. Is there a team I did not mention that you think legitimately could get through a gauntlet and win it all?
Man, there's a lot of teams that you can make runs, but I think outside of those, no, I really don't. I think it's a pretty short list that can win it all, but I think there's a long list that can make a second weekend, third weekend run.
It does feel like that kind of year, doesn't it?
I'll throw in Illinois. Can I give you Illinois maybe? Okay. As the one that I think has crept up into fringe, knocking on top five door, but man, they can't, you know, every team outside of that group you just talked about, there's a pretty glaring flaw. And I think Illinois can't protect the rim consistently. That's their glaring flaw. I still think they have a really high ceiling, a high gear.
I have three
bets. I trust.
I have three bets. I have UConn to make the Final Four at +180, which I feel great about. But I have Alabama to win it all, and they just play no defense, and they can't correct it. And then there's BYU. Have you ever seen a team this, like, with so many injuries in college hoops? Like, they can never stay healthy.
Tough.
Yeah.
No, I know. And they're deep. It's why Mark Pope credit, they're still playing really well with all those lineage injuries. I worry about their home court. You know, they don't play at the Marriott Center, in the tournament.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be seeing all these Mountain West teams a little bit inflated in the metrics because they beat teams by 30 on their home floor. You get them outside, not as invincible. But I like your Alabama team. I think their defense is better than you think. I think give it some time. They can guard well enough with how well they scored. I kind of like your Bama angle there as well.
Okay. Yeah, the BYU home road split thing is an interesting thing also. All right, tonight, college hoops, you got a couple plays. What do you like?
Yeah, just two. Market's been active per usual. My goodness. But I like Ohio. I'm the only person on the planet that bets Ohio every game. Seems like they cover by a half point or a point every game. So maybe maybe I have the horseshoe or the sun don't shine. But I think at home against Akron, a hype spot, better backcourt. Coach, I trust a little more, with apologies to John Gross fans out there. I think Jeff Bowles is terrific. I think they're just the better team. So I'm getting a pretty good value there as a pick 'em -1 at home. And then I'm back in the Bonnies up there in Olean, upstate New York tonight, catching a red-hot Loyola Rambler team. Numbers too short for a team that matches up well, has the size up front to combat what the Blurs bring to bear in the front line. Just feels like a vintage Mark Schmidt, big spot, got to have it at home. Again, just a price a little too short for where my numbers have it, closer to 5.5, 6.
All right, Matt, you'll always be the founder of Three Man Weave to me, and I appreciate your appearance, sir.
Thank you. Underscore that every time you bring us on. Thank you, Gil. God bless you
every
both.
Time to the others as well. Jim, you know you're not the founder of this whole thing. At 3MW _CBB, at Maddie _Cox for Matt specifically. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, boys.
We'll come back. This glut of free agent running backs in the NFL is something to behold. We'll talk about that. Eric Eager will join us from the Combine. Wow. Yeah. What's he? He's got a stopwatch with him? Is he doing
maybe,
this?
We'll see.
Find out about that. We don't have any props up yet, though, do we? We'll talk to him. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember to use promo code ANG.
That's ANG, folks. Like a numbers game. Like the fine program you're listening to right now. Back to you, Gil.
Get your first year VSiN Pro access for only $199 when you use the promo code ANG. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander and Kelly Bidlin here on a numbers game. I have a mea culpa, and thank you to Andrew Rin for pointing this out. You know, we're going through the formula and the exceptions, 2014 UConn Huskies had a bunch of them. And then the only other one was Baylor with one of the, the defense efficiency, they were 22nd. There is another exception that with all March Madness last year, we failed to note, but obviously didn't make the transfer over to my notes this year. Danny Hurley never got to a Sweet 16 before UConn won it last year. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that very much. Andrew Rin checking in. So we got to add that as one of the exceptions. So the Sweet 16, the coach never having been to a Sweet 16 beforehand, Kevin Ollie and Dan Hurley are now the exceptions.
Wait, but you got there last year?
No. It doesn't matter when you do it that the year of. Prior to the year of the championship, the only coach prior to last year who won a championship.
Prior to last year.
Yeah. So okay. Dan Harrell, but I didn't add him as a, but thank you, Andrew Rin. We got a correction there. That's very true. FoxPHLGambler.com says, while I don't disagree about it being quiet, Embiid was at the game on Sunday. If he was still in hiding, I would have a worse feeling.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Trust the glove. Thanks for the analysis and your thinking. I just don't have time to focus on my sports betting. Doesn't stop me as long as ANG and Gil is available to me. Please take this delegation of my thinking seriously. Thanks, but tennis? ? I don't know. That took about five different turns. I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you slowly went through that one. Yeah,
He was with us, and he wasn't with us. He loved us, that he didn't.
I didn't know where that was turning. Yeah.
And the tennis picks are coming, I promise. All right, we'll let him work it out. Eric Eager joins, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Eric Eager. He is the host of the Sumer Sports Show over at Sumer Sports, a vice president at Sumer Sports. He joins us now from Indianapolis. And Eric, let me just ask you this. Are you there to time these players, or are you there to schmooze? What's your priority?
Well, schmooze is the number one name of the game for, like, basically everybody, because no one runs the 40 really anymore. It's schmooze first, time people second.
Okay. And where does the combine rank for you in terms of your football calendar, in terms of enjoyment level?
The combine is the number one football event. I think that, yeah, the Super Bowl is cool. But like, I think the fact that you and I were both at the Super Bowl and we were like unable to even connect, I think shows like kind of the craziness.
True.
And the sort of franticness. I don't usually go to a combine without seeing kind of like everybody who I care to see. And I think that that's obviously a special part of it. So I think that the combine is the better event. The Super Bowl is cool. But I think the Super Bowl is like firmly second place.
Do you look to bet this event? Like, is there a certain player that you are focused on that you think could, if not on a combine prop, right? If not on whoever ends up posting those, but in terms of like a draft position that you're focused in on?
Well, I think like right now, you know, the limits are pretty low on things like 40 yard dash and like whether there'll be, I mean, you always want to bet the no on whether there'll be, you know, a record setting bench press or record setting 40 and that kind of thing. It's almost always, you know, sharp to bet the no. For most players, it's good to bet for them to do poorly. In most cases it either voids or it wins. But those limits are pretty low. And then when it comes to, draft positions, I don't think I've ever made a wager while at the combine that ended up being plus EV. the information that comes out of here, like I think 2 years ago, I came out of the combine thinking Ikem Ekwonu would be the first pick overall. And, you know, taking him 9-1 and then that thing getting down to kind of even money or something like that. And then him not even being anywhere close to the conversation by the time the thing was said and done. Malik Willis 2 years ago was also thought of, you know, Mike Tomlin saying how much he liked him. And then he took Kenny Pickett instead. So a lot of smoke and mirrors. To me, I think that the combine is not going to give you that kind of information unless, you know, and the markets aren't that mature. I mean, especially, you know, these books are so nervous to place all that many props right now anyway, that, you know, most of the time a guy is going to fall after this event. And a lot of guys are not participating, and a lot of these sports books are not participating right now. So there's not a ton of information that you're going to make immediately actionable from this event.
Kelly, trivia question. Fastest 40 time at the combine in history?
No idea. Chris Johnson?
Oh, second. Good guess. 4.24. John Ross, 4.22.
Ah, yeah.
Nice try, though.
He was up there.
So let's combine aside then, Eric. Is there, as you look forward to the draft, is there anything specific you are anticipating? Is it, you know, Marvin Harrison to be matched with a team? Is there any specific thing you're looking for?
Yeah, I think Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals is the best I have as far as, you know, player to team. That's the info that I continue to get from a bunch of independent sources. The one that's interesting to me is, you know, Jaden Daniels to a team not the Patriots, or Drake May, a team not the Patriots. And right now, you know, if you look at the markets, you know, Daniels is a slight underdog for two, but it's kind of been drifting in his direction. Are the Patriots trading out of pick three is a really good question, because then I think you can get some plus EV on who is that team and who is moving up to take that pick. And, you know, is it going to be like the Jets in 2018? It's going to be like the 49ers in 2021. Are they going to move up well before the draft and take a position on that pick before the draft? Because that'll also, I think, you know, really shape the markets as well. But those are a couple. The other one that's really, when you look at every single mock draft that has Brock Bowers not going to the Los Angeles Chargers at 5, he doesn't really go in the top 10. Which again is another interesting one, where if you can sort of corner that market where you kind of hedge off Bowers to the Chargers, but also eventually find an over on his pick position, that might be a plus EV play that, you know, might be an arbitrage opportunity for you as well.
Okay, we'll have plenty of time to talk more about the draft between now and then, 2 full months to discuss this. In our remaining 2 minutes, because you and I haven't had a chance to talk about the Super Bowl specifically, but I'm more interested in, as you look back at the season, with Kansas City obviously emerging at the top of the heap in the end, but as you look back on the entire stretch of it, the entire arc of the season, what is your biggest lesson learned? Let's do it macro. What's the thing that you will take away the most from this past season, handicapping wise?
That it's always the better quarterback almost always overcomes circumstances. You know, we the league engineered themselves to basically try to take Patrick Mahomes away. And, you know, I wrote this in a bunch of group chats. I might even send it to you, Gil. You had the best player of all time on the, probably, maybe not the best player of all time, but one of the best quarterbacks of all time on the most well-rounded team he's ever going to be on, getting, you know, 2.5-ish or better, 3 consecutive games, which are a thing you're never going to get again. And, you know, the markets just kind of let us have that, which I just don't know, given how sharp the NFL market is, if you're ever going to get that again. And I feel like we all kind of overthought it a little bit. And to me, it's just, there was so much good about the Ravens. There was so much good about the Bills. There was so much good about the San Francisco 49ers ultimately. But even though this league has done so much to take away the quarterback, and there have been a lot of quarterbacks that have retired in recent years, it still is ultimately about that position.
It is, and it's particularly so with this guy, right? Because he is Michael Jordan. And as long as he's around, because to me, I agree with you, and I think that was my biggest, I think I said it the next morning, which is we just have to remember that no matter how bad this team looks in any given year at any time, they still got him, Patrick Mahomes, and they should be considered the favorite perhaps just by default every single season with this guy. And some of us have learned that lesson, you know, harder than others. Eric, enjoy your time at the Combine. Let us know if there's anything actionable and bettable, will you?
I promise I will, Gil. It's been great to be on, and it was good to hear your voice.
Too, man. Dr. Eric Eager, everybody, from Sumer Sports, host of the Sumer Sports Show, and again, VP at Sumer Sports. Happy to have him on here at the Combine. He says it's number one. Kelly's got some hoops picks. I got some tennis picks next.